Okay, let's start again. Good morning, Terra Nova Church. It is good to be in the house of the Lord with you this morning. We are continuing our sermon series, Becoming the Church. And I know this has been we're on the home stretch. This has been a departure from our norms. And I trust that you have been learning from it, that we're continuing to build the foundation as we look at what it means to be the church. In the fall, we looked at what the Bible says about what the church is, and right now we're talking about our church specifically and the ways that we do things and the reasons for those things. And so I hope that is laying the foundation. And so, a little pop quiz. Why does Terra Nova Church exist? Somebody? To make more and better disciples of Jesus Christ. That is what we're doing. So this morning, we're going to be talking about the gospel. That's the whole reason we do all of this, right? This is the foundation. And so I get up to speak about the gospel, and I've got sort of two purposes in mind, right? And that is more and better disciples. So if you're here visiting this morning or listening online, and you don't understand what the gospel is, I hope that throughout this sermon that you're going to be able to understand it, that this will be good news for you. And if you've been sitting in these pews for some time, I hope this is a good refresher for you, that it's good to be reminded and perhaps get some tools that you can use to help you make more disciples, right? So that's our dual purpose this morning, because we want to take the gospel from being the story, the main story, and we want it to be my story of how Jesus met me in my sin and brought me into fellowship with God. So, if you've been, like I said, if you've been in church for a while, you've probably heard of some of the tools that we equip people with to share the gospel. So one of those is the Romans Road. How many are familiar with the Romans Road, right? It's a great tool. Uses just the book of Romans and walks through. I'll just overview it so we have an understanding. Romans 3:23, we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:30 says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Romans 5:8 says God demonstrated his love for us in this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. And then it goes on. Romans 10:9-10 says, if we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. And Romans 5:1 says, we're justified through faith, therefore we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's those six verses, if you can memorize, and if you have that understanding, that is a great way to share the gospel in a nutshell. That's a great tool. So, and you can look that up. I didn't make that up, of course, in case that wasn't clear. That's just something that was taught to me. It's taught to many of you. It's a great tool. Another tool that I got when, I think I got this at like camp or something, maybe it's VBS. Are you guys familiar with the Salvation bracelets? Do you remember the little leather bracelets you used to get with the beads? Anybody? No one? Oh, a few nods. Okay, thank you. All right. So, and it was just a tool to help you remember what were the sort of the crux of what to share. And so there was a black bead, a red bead, a white bead, a green bead, and a gold bead, right? And so the black bead was to remind us of the darkness that we live in when we're separated from God. And then the red bead was to remind us of Christ coming and shedding his blood that made the way for us to have relationship with God again. And the white bead is for the righteousness that we're then clothed in because of Christ's atoning work on the cross. And the green bead is for growth, because as Christians we grow, and there's an ongoing work of sanctification in our lives as we continually seek the Lord and seek to make decisions that honor him and bring honor and glory to him. And the gold would signify that eventual, the streets paved with gold in heaven, where we look and long for. And so those are a couple of great tools, and I'm not trying to supersede those, or like if those are helpful to you, if that's the way that you share the gospel with people, either of those, that's great. And those appropriately focus on Christ and his work on the cross, which is the crux of all that we do. Jesus's incarnation, death, and resurrection is the foundation of the church. It's the foundation of the gospel. It's the foundation of what we do. It's why we remember it every week. Every week we remind ourselves of Christ's bodily incarnation, his body broken, and his blood shed. That's not the cue for the band. I'm not quite done. We remember every Sunday that is the linchpin of our faith. And the gospel is that story. But it isn't just, the gospel isn't just one story, the 33 years of Christ's life on earth and his death, burial, and resurrection that happened 2,000 years ago. The gospel is also the whole story of the Bible, from the tree of life in the garden to the tree of life in the New Jerusalem. It's a story that plays out over and over in miniature in the people of Israel, in individual prophets, in the disciples, and in our lives. It's the story of God seeking sinners to bring them back into relationship with him. So we as a church want to remember, obviously we do this every week, we want to remember that the gospel, the crux of it, the linchpin of it, is that Jesus died, Jesus came to earth, was died, and rose from the dead to bring us into relationship with God. But we also want to remember that it's also this whole story. It's the whole story of the whole story of the Bible. It's like those pictures, you know, where it's a face, but if you zoom into the pixels, it's every little pixel is a face. If you're familiar with those, right? So it's like that. There's like the story of the gospel is played out over and over in our lives. It's played out over and over in the Bible. It's played out through the whole story from beginning to end. And so the framework that we want to use to remember that the gospel is more than just the story, it's also my story, and it's the whole story. We use this framework, and if you've been coming to Terra for a while, you know this framework. You've heard it. You've heard us use it. You've heard it in Nucleus class. You've heard it from the pulpit. You've heard it in tribes. The framework is: there's creation, there's the fall, there's Christ coming. There's the crux of it. There's the reconciliation we get through Christ's work, and then there's the final restoration to all things being made new. Okay, so there's a little. I want to take a little bit of sidebar. When I was young and I was in school, I used to, sometimes I'd do well and sometimes I'd do poorly in math, right? Here was my big problem, is that when the teacher went up and explained some concept, I would understand it. That doesn't seem like a problem, but it is. Because I understood it, and I'd maybe do a couple problems, and I'd be like, all right, I get this. And the next day, the teacher, as teachers do, would build on the concepts of the day before. And then they would say, okay, well, now we're gonna do this now. And I would go, okay, I understand that. Understand. I had an easy time comprehending the math. But because I understood it, I didn't practice it. I didn't do the homework. And then when the test came, I'd go, oh, how did this go again? I understood this so well when it was being explained to me, but I couldn't recall it. I couldn't bring it to mind. So why am I telling you that? I'm telling you that because I think that if it's easy to sit in church and understand the gospel. But I think when we tell it, when we practice it, when we put it in our own words, that's when we can know it. That's when we can go from understanding it to knowing it. Does that make sense to everybody? So the reason that we give you this framework is because if someone comes to you and asks, and you want to be ready to have an answer for the hope that's within you, it's good to have some sort of a framework to remember how it is you share the gospel. And like I said, I'm not putting down the Romans Road or the bracelets or whatever tools you use to share the gospel. This is just the one that we have found to be useful and sort of guides how we share. So 1 Peter 3:15 says, always be ready to to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, and yet do it with gentleness and respect. So, in that mind, I want to say the words out loud, all right? The framework for our gospel is creation. Everybody say it with me. Creation, fall, the Christ event, reconciliation, restoration. We're going to say it all at once. Creation, fall, the Christ event, reconciliation, restoration. It's on the screen behind me, right? It's not hard. I wasn't asking you to memorize it. It's good. So the point of having a framework like that is so that you can take the gospel story, you can take the gospel story, and you can make it my story. You can make it your story. So I'm just, not because I'm a good example, but I'm going to just briefly say, this is how you could share your testimony. So this is my story. This is my story of creation, fall, the Christ event, reconciliation, and restoration. I was born in a Christian family. We went to church every Sunday. In fact, when I was growing up, we actually lived next door to the church. So if I heard the organ hum up, I would go. My parents sent me to a Christian school from second grade through eighth grade. And I got to go to summer camps where they taught the word and taught the gospel. I had lots of opportunities to know the truth of the Bible. But the fall is that I still chose to do things my way. I sought validation and attention from others instead of God. Sometimes that meant chasing like relationships with girls, or it meant making choices that I knew were wrong to fit into crowds that I shouldn't have been with. I ran away from what I knew to be true. But the Christ event is that God never gave up on me. He sent his son to die, and he sent people and into my life to show me grace and mercy. My parents, my wife, many of the leaders of churches and the camps that I went to, people continued to speak truth into my life. And he also spoke truth to me through the natural consequences of the decisions I was making. But he reconciled me to himself. He brought me back into the fold. Put me back on the path of serving others. And in case that's not clear, like, this was not a once-and-done sort of a thing. This is a story that repeated itself many times for me, right? And if you've walked with the Lord for some time, you know this. There's patterns in your life where you need to be reminded against over and over, right? Anybody with me there? That you've got habits. You've got ways of thinking that just keep coming back up, even though you know them. You understand that that's not the right way to do. You make poor choices, and God continues to bring you back to Himself, because it's not just one story. It's this whole story. And so God reveals Himself to you, and He draws you back to Him through Christ. And we look forward to the time when we don't have to deal with that anymore. Right now we're living, as we said, without the condemnation of sin. We're free from condemnation, but we look forward to the time when we're free from the presence of sin around us, presence of sin in our own hearts that pulls us away from God. So that's the gospel framework. That's how you can tell your story. That's a simple testimony if someone asks you a question. Does everybody understand? So that's why we teach this. Now we're going to build on that concept a little bit and add some layers. And the layers are the themes, and that these, again, if you've been coming to Turnover for a while, you've seen these themes. You've seen them on t-shirts and hats, and you've seen them in publications, and you've heard them in sermons. And the themes are life, place, and meaning. So why do we need themes? Why do we need extra layers to the gospel story? It's enough. And it is. The reason is because as we try to make more and better disciples, not everyone that we interact with, not everyone that you interact with, is necessarily going to start from the place of understanding their own sin and separation from God. And Christ's work on the cross did more. His work on the cross is beyond our understanding. It does more than just restore our life. It restores our life, restores our place and our meaning. So somebody comes to you, or you're interacting with someone who says, like, I don't feel like I belong anywhere. I feel like I've, through my sin or through other sin, all my relationships are broken. There's a gospel story in that, because we were created and we were placed in a garden and we were placed in community with one another. Adam and Eve had community together with each other and with God. And the fall broke that, right? They were kicked out of the garden and their relationships were broken by shame and blame. But when Christ came, he reconciled all of that. He gave us the church, and the church is the place that we belong. And the church's markers are love for one another and unity. That's how Christ said we would be known as Christians, if we love one another. And he prayed for us to have unity. That's the goal. And the work of Christ can continually bring us to that point of love and unity and belonging in the church. And we look forward in restoration to the time when all nations will be praising him in unity in heaven. So if someone comes to you and says, I don't know what's the point of all this. What, I don't feel like there's any meaning to my life. I don't feel like I'm doing anything. I feel like I'm just spinning my wheels. There's a gospel story for that too, because Christ's work on the cross restores our meaning. So when we were in the garden and we were created, we were told to reproduce and we were told to steward the earth. And when we fell into sin, reproduction, there was pain in childbirth, and the work became futile, because when we planted, weeds would grow through the sweat of our brow. But Christ redeems all that. Christ came and his blood poured out and his body broken for us, redeemed that, and we're given a new work. Now, instead of reproducing physically, we're to reproduce ourselves, because we make more disciples, right? That's our new task. And Jesus said, I came to bring you life, that you would have life and you'd have it more abundantly. So now we have abundant life. And we look forward to the time when we can have joy in worship, when we go home, when we give him glory in heaven. Now, if you go on our website, if you look on, it's pretty easy to follow. If you go up to the hamburger and there's gospel, that is that little chart. Everything I just said, or pretty much more or less, is in a little chart. You probably were handed it at some point. You've probably seen it at some point. And so if you want to understand that better, or if you want to memorize it and know it so that you can repeat it to someone, all that's available on our website, or we can talk some more. So I know that usually at Terra Nova, we go through passages of Scripture and we look at them, and it's expositional preaching. And in this sermon series, it's been more topical. We're looking at topics. And so, and this is just a season. This is not how we're going to do church from now on. We're going to get back to those expositional things, and we're going to go through passages of Scripture. And I appreciate your patience. I think sometimes in metaphors, and this is a metaphor that's been helpful to me sometimes. Maybe it's helpful to you. If it's not, just forget it. The Word of God is truth, right? The Word of God is truth. That's not the metaphor. That's the reality. I think sometimes about the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God like a house. And we go into different passages, different books of the Bible, and that's like going into rooms of the house. And there's so much truth in every room. Amen? If we're thinking about the Word of God as a house, there's truth in every room, and every painting on the wall is truth, and every floorboard is truth, and all of the decorations are truth. And sometimes we get into what this Greek word means and what it all, and that's like glowing. We can go into we know that there's so much truth in here that we can go into the closet, as it were, and pull up a floorboard, and that nail is truth, and that board is truth, and that's great. This morning we've sort of been standing in the front yard and saying, look at all this truth. And that's okay too, once in a while. But I do want to, I don't want to totally think, I don't want you to think I'm totally making this stuff up. So I want to go through some scriptures now. I want to use some examples from scripture of how these frameworks and these themes appear in the Bible, so that you know that this is not just for me, but this is something that you can know. So these are some examples. I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians 5, starting at verse 17. And see, as I read, see if you can pick up on some of these, some of the themes that we've talked about, and see if you can pick up on the framework of the gospel as it's brought out of here. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. And all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. All right, so how many themes have we seen so far? Anybody? This is going to be, I talked about schools that you would think that this is something that you're allowed to answer. Reconciliation, I mean, the word is in there, right? What else? Creation's in there, yep. Christ, obviously. Christ event's a key part. He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. What's that for us? Which theme is that? It's meaning, right? Now we have a job to do. We have a job to do again. That's that we're part of what God is doing in the world. He gave us the ministry of recreation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against him, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God is making his appeal through us. And we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So we have a job to do. We have meaning again. We belong again. And for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Our life is restored. Everybody follow that? Does everybody get how those themes and framework plays out in these verses? All right, let's go to John 20, verses 19 through 22. John 20, the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 19. Here it is. Through 23. So this is after Jesus died and rose from the dead, and the disciples, not all the disciples had seen him yet. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even now I'm sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." So Jesus has just died, rose from the dead. The disciples, not understanding all this, were still on their own cycle of understanding and knowing what the gospel meant. They were afraid. But Jesus came and brought them peace. He said, "Peace be with you." And he showed them his hands and his side. And he gave them a task. "Even as the Father sent me, I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." What does breathe remind us of? Creation, right? Because when God breathed life into humanity, but we fell and we brought sin and death into the world. And then Christ came and died and shed his blood and was resurrected, and he destroyed us. He brought life back to us, and he's here in John 20. He breathes new life into us because our life was restored through him. He says, "Receive the Holy Spirit," and then he gives us a task, meaning we have reproduction to do. We have to bring more people into understanding their place in the world and what Jesus did for them. Last example, we're going to go to, and this one I think is the easiest to understand. We're going to go to Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10. Very familiar passage. And you and I were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world. Right? That's the fall. Following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived, in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one can boast. For we are created in his workmanship, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So the themes there of life, of our death because of the fall, but we're created new in Christ, we're given new life, we're given a meaning, and we're given a place. He raised us up and seated us with him in the heavenly places. That's a place. That's community again. And he showed us that. He gave us a new meaning that we are to have. Not the futility of work in a fallen world, but the beauty of good works that God has prepared beforehand for us to walk in. All right. These are things that I hope you understand. These are things that I hope you know. And so, I'm giving you homework. And your homework this week is to share your gospel story with someone. Using the framework we just talked about, any of the themes, out loud, in person, someone face to face. Because as I said, it's great that we understand these things, but it's more important that we know them. And we can know them by sharing them, by practicing them, by thinking about them, and specifically by putting these in your own words and sharing them out loud. I'm going to ask the band to come up as we close. And I'm going to finish with these verses from Ephesians chapter 3. And this is the closing prayer that Paul's praying in Ephesians chapter 3, and I think you understand why I chose this as our closing prayer. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend or understand with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen.